You know the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah.
This is WBCR LP 97.7 on your FM dial, broadcasting from downtown Great Barrington in the Berkshire Hills of Western Massachusetts. That was The Doors. And this is Mickey Friedman. And this is The Other Side. There are, of course, many sides and many truths. This show is about some of the other sides of the story. My pick of the many stories out there. There is no telling what can come of one or two or a few people stepping out to take bold action. This is the first of two shows about Cindy Sheehan and Camp Casey, the story of a grieving mother who decided to share her grief and anger with the rest of us, and headed to Crawford, Texas, to confront the President of the United States.
Moving on to world news, in Iraq, 14 U.S. Marines and a civilian interpreter were killed in roadside bomb attacks northwest of Baghdad. It is one of the deadliest single attacks against American forces there. More than 1,800 U.S. service members have died in Iraq since the war began. Violence has increased with the approach of an August 15th deadline to draft the country's new constitution.
First, let me say that, you know, we mourn the loss of every fallen troop. And a community outside of Cleveland, Brook Park, Ohio, suffered mightily over the last couple of days. The people of Brook Park and the family members of those who lost their life, I hope they can take comfort in the fact that millions of their fellow citizens pray for them. Hope they also take comfort in the understanding that the sacrifice was made in a noble cause.
It was a snap decision. It was totally, it was Wednesday. 14 Marines were killed on Wednesday. And then George Bush gets on the TV again and says crap about they died for a noble cause and that we have to complete the mission to honor the sacrifices of the fallen. And not only was I enraged and upset and brokenhearted about the 14 Marines dying, but when I heard him spew that filth again, I was really pissed. And so I was typing something about the 14 Marines dying and about George Bush saying that and how upset I was. And literally, as I was typing, I'm going to the VFP convention in Dallas this weekend. I don't care how far it is. I'm going to go to Crawford and drive up to the gates of the ranch and demand to meet with him and demand that he answer these questions. And at that point, I thought it was just going to be me and my sister. You know, I said, Dee Dee and I are going if anybody wants to follow us. And I kind of had a feeling if it was I was going from the VFP that some VFP guys would come with me. And this is crazy. I had no idea. People, some guy told me, you know, I'm a little skeptical that this was spur of the moment because it's been so successful. This was totally spur of the moment.
What's your experience been out here since you got here?
Well, it's a nightmare. You know, it's hard. We're either soaking wet or blazing hot. You know, we're stuck in this drainage ditch. But the thing that makes me out here about Casey that gives me the strength is that Casey always did what he thought was right. He always stood up for what he knew was right. You know, he was the most amazing, honorable person filled with integrity of anybody I knew. He was 24 years old and he was still a virgin. And he said, he just said, Mom, that is a gift I want to give my wife. And he used to get teased about it on post. You know, the other soldiers would say, oh, Sheehan, we have to get you laid. And he would just say, that's okay. You know, he never preached and said, you shouldn't be doing it. He just knew that that wasn't for him. You know, and I think for a 24-year-old man, you know, now I wish he wasn't one because his life was so short. you know, and I wish, but that wouldn't have been Casey if he did something that wasn't in his integrity. And people would want him to cheat. One guy offered him $100 to put his name on a paper Casey wrote because he didn't write the paper so they'd be co-written. Casey said, no, that's not right, and he didn't do it. So I have to honor his memory by standing up for what I know is right. I don't believe a war of aggression on a country that was no threat to the United States of America is a noble cause. I would like to know that since he believes it's such a noble cause, does he encourage his daughters to go enlist and take the place of some soldiers that want to come home? You know, soldiers that maybe are on their third tour of duty, or a soldier that maybe has been stopped last, you know, has been in the military for 8 years and they're holding him hostage over in Iraq. And the third thing that I want, I'm not even going to ask politely, is that I need him to stop using Casey's death to justify more killing. Casey was a peaceful person that died trying to save his buddies, and his death was in vain because none of them should have been over there in the first place. They should come home now. I want him to honor Casey's memory by bringing the troops home, and I don't want him to use it to justify his murderous policies anymore. And if he keeps saying that, I want him to say, accept Casey Sheehan.
The short winding road to President Bush's ranch is normally quiet, just the way the Secret Service likes it. But these days, before you hit the entrance, you come across Camp Casey. It's a smattering of tents and protest signs.
We're about 3 miles from the president's ranch. It's down Prairie Chapel Road. It's a prairie. We're sitting in the middle of the prairie. We're sleeping in tents in a ditch.
Cindy Sheehan says she's keeping a vigil here to honor her son Casey, an Army specialist who died in Baghdad last year. And she's not leaving until she gets a meeting with the president. Mr. Bush has already dispatched his national security advisor and deputy chief of staff to meet with the war mom, but Sheehan says that's not enough. She says she wants to tell him personally that she's offended whenever she hears him say that the mission in Iraq should be continued in part to honor the fallen.
I just want to tell him to quit using my son's death to justify more killing. On April 4th, 2004, my heart and my soul were ripped out. Why would I want one more mother, if it's Iraqi or American, why would I want one more mother to suffer like I'm suffering just because my son is dead?
Sheehan is attracting a supporting cast. They arrive each day sleeping in tents or in their cars.
There are people all over this country tonight that are making their way to Crawford, yeah, trying to figure out where in the heck it is.
In the battle for Iraq, an Iraqi protest over living conditions turning violent. NBC's Mike Betcher is live in Baghdad with all the latest on that, as well as the ongoing offensive against insurgents. Good Sunday morning to you, Mike.
Good morning, Alex. The Interior Ministry here in Baghdad reports that 7 Iraqi civilians were killed today by drive-by shootings and suicide bombings. Most of that total were Iraqi security force members and members of the government. 2 of them worked for the oil ministry. Also, the military command here in Iraq reports that 2 U.S. soldiers were killed and 3 were wounded in a town 60 miles north of Baghdad called Samarra. They were part of Task Force Liberty, which is patrolling in an area in Samarra, north of there. They were killed by improvised explosive devices. Now, this comes on the same day that another operation is underway in northwest Iraq called Operation Quick Strike. That operation has been underway since August 3rd, and it is meant to interdict insurgent smuggling routes from Syria into Baghdad. This has been a very difficult mission. As you know, in the beginning of that mission, 14 U.S. Marines died when their amphibious assault vehicle struck a tank mine, and as well, another 6 Marine snipers were killed when they were ambushed by insurgents in that area. Also today, there has been civil unrest in a town 150 miles south of Baghdad called Samawa. About 4,000 people demonstrated for better electricity and more clean water. Those have been major problems in this area, and these protesters are demanding that the Shiite and Kurdish-led government in this country provide them with better services. Now, this particular town, Samawa, is a predominantly Shiite town, and most of the people there thought that with this new government, they would get better services. But it just has not happened because of the problems with security in the area. This civil unrest has happened in several other cities around Iraq, not very many, but it's something that has continued on, and we're monitoring it closely.
The song is called Life During Wartime.
Yeah, we say making changes starts in the little things you do. Revolution begins at home, but for most of us it ends at two. We're doing something, we're making changes, like changing the brand of crap we buy. We say it makes a difference, but that's just another lie. It used to be and them and you and me, and now we can't reach our potential without a common enemy, a real war to fight against instead of our petty disagreements. How can I rationalize my life during wartime lie? Call to action and a reaction, taking our lives in our own hands, instead of sitting around and talking about the same old shitty bands. But war's going on right now, and I'm not doing anything about it. Without a crowd, I'm not so loud. I can't do anything by myself, but that's just another lie.
The heat is on in Crawford, Texas, but it has nothing to do with the climatic conditions there. Some 38 Democratic congressional figures are demanding that President Bush accede to a request by a concerned American and distraught parent, Cindy Sheehan, to meet with her about the war in Iraq and the loss of her son to the war she feels is unjust. Among those in Congress demanding that Bush meet with Sheehan include Representative John Conyers, Maxine Waters, George Miller, and Dennis Kucinich, to name a few. The mother of the fallen U.S. soldier who started the quiet roadside peace vigil near the president's ranch last weekend is drawing supporters from across the nation. Dozens of people have joined her, and others have sent flowers and food. One activist called her the Rosa Parks of the anti-war movement. Cindy Sheehan, 48, of Vacaville, California, says she was surprised at the response. Although a few residents have complained about the protesters, no one has been arrested because the group has been on the public right-of-way, said Captain Kenneth Venick of the McClellan County Sheriff's Office. On Saturday, two high-level Bush administration officials, the National Security Advisor and Deputy White House Chief of Staff, talked to Sheehan for about 20 minutes. Sheehan called the meeting pointless and still wants to talk to President Bush himself.
Absolutely flocking to Crawford. It's just insane. I don't think Crawford has ever seen anything like this before. It's just so gratifying that they're coming from all over the country, Louisiana, California, Alabama, Oklahoma, Arizona. It's just amazing to me. People in the country are ready. Saying enough is enough. Let's get this guy out of here. Let's get our kids home.
Now you got 38 Democratic House members have written a letter on your behalf to Bush. You think that's going to have an impact?
Oh, you guys are funny.
You don't think so, huh?
No, I don't think so.
The fascinating saga of Cindy Sheehan. That is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. Mrs. Sheehan is protesting in Crawford, Texas, trying to convince Americans the Iraq war is wrong and a president should be impeached. She's doing so because her son Casey, an Army specialist, was killed last year in Iraq. No one has the right to intrude on Mrs. Sheehan's grief. That's number one. She's entitled to her opinion on a situation that has deeply affected her. And she's angry at the White House.
The because Joe Hagan, the deputy chief of staff, said that I can tell you the president really cares. And I said, you can't tell me that because I've met with him and I know that he doesn't care. And I told them that I feel that my son didn't die for a noble cause.
Well, here's something very strange. 2 months after her son died, Cindy and her husband Patrick did meet with President Bush, as she said. After that meeting, Cindy was quoted by a California newspaper saying, I now know President Bush is sincere about wanting freedom for the Iraqis, and I know he's sorry and feels some pain for our loss, unquote. So Mrs. Sheehan has apparently changed her mind about the president. How did that happen? Well, for some reason, she's teamed up with Michael Moore and a man named Sam Husseini, both anti-war radicals. Husseini said this on The Factor just 2 days after 9/11.
What sickened me was the act of what happened and that people would kill so many innocent people. But now I hear a drumbeat of having our soldiers kill women and children. Colin Powell advocated, apparently during the buildup of the Gulf War, flooding Baghdad and killing possibly 4 million people.
Now, that kind of lunacy is what Mrs. Sheehan is associating with. You would think the media would be cautious here, with obvious inconsistencies and radicalism in play. But no. In an editorial today in the New York Times, it says, quote, Mr. Bush obviously failed to comfort Ms. Sheehan when he met with her and her family. More important, he has not helped the nation give fallen soldiers like Casey Sheehan the honor they deserve. Well, let's go back to the California article. Cindy Sheehan quoted as saying, that was the gift the president gave us, the gift of happiness, of being together. Sounds like comfort to me. What say you, New York Times? Finally, honest people could disagree about the Iraq war. Most Americans now oppose it. That could turn around with some progress, and Talking Points hopes it does. But remember this, for every Cindy Sheehan, there's a Sergeant Leroy Scott who's recovering from the terrible wounds he received attempting to save a soldier's life while serving as a medic in Iraq. Sergeant Scott is proud of his service, proud of his country. I talked with him today. I sense no bitterness at all. I don't know what is driving Mrs. Sheehan, but I do know she's being used, and maybe she knows it as well.
This week, the vigil along Prairie Chapel Road has become a bit more organized and a bit more of a spectacle. Several dozen people from around the country have now joined Cindy Sheehan in what she calls Camp Casey, named for her son. They've set up tents that don't look like they're going anywhere anytime soon. Their tables set up in the grass with sodas and water. Sheehan's supporters today walked along the side of the road, erecting tiny white crosses with the names of dead soldiers from Iraq. Meanwhile, Sheehan invited reporters who are here to cover the president to a news conference featuring other parents who've lost family in Iraq. This is Jean Pruitt from Birmingham, Alabama.
My son, Kelly, was killed April 6th of 2003. You know, ambushed on his convoy, and it was only 3 weeks into the war. I didn't even get a chance to get a picture of him from over there, and it has devastated our family, as it has all these others who are here, and I just don't want to see anybody else have to go through what we've been through.
Sheehan, for her part, is still demanding a meeting with the president. She met with him last fall when the president saw a group of grieving families. At the time, she praised Mr. Bush as a man of faith. But now she says he was insensitive during that meeting. She has been an active war protester since then and says she wants to speak with the president face to face.
He's on vacation here for 5 weeks. I don't understand why he can't take an hour to speak with somebody whose life he has devastated.
The president today held meetings at his ranch with his war council, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Afterwards, he was asked a question about U.S. troop levels in Iraq and about the new constitution being drafted there. But he seemed to be answering a different question.
You know, I grieve for every death. It breaks my heart to think about a family weeping over the loss of a loved one. I understand the anguish that some feel about the death that takes place.
Reporters asked if he was referring to Cindy Sheehan.
I'm referring to any grieving mother or father, no matter what their political views may be. You know, part of my duty as the president is to meet with those who've lost a loved one. And so, you know, listen, I sympathize with Mrs. Sheehan.
Mr. Bush, who is used to being alone in the spotlight in Crawford, Texas, seemed to want to respond to Sheehan directly, even if not in person.
This is America. She has a right to her position. And I've thought long and hard about her position. I've heard her position from others, which is get out of Iraq now. And it would be a mistake for the security of this country and the ability to lay the foundations for peace in the long run if we were to do so.
But Mr. Bush also showed a bit of stubbornness. Sheehan says she came to Crawford after hearing the president make a comment last week that Americans should finish the mission in Iraq in part to honor the fallen. She said that infuriated her and that she doesn't want her son honored that way. After speaking about Sheehan today, Mr. Bush still repeated that very same language.
We should do everything we can to honor the fallen. And one way to honor the fallen is to lay the foundation for peace.
Tomorrow, the president is expected to drive past Camp Casey on his way to a neighboring ranch where he'll be attending a fundraiser.
George Bush loves to say, and in fact, he most recently said in his when he and Tony Blair were doing their joint press conference and the issue of the Downing Street memos came up, he repeated his stump line where he looks like he's getting all misty and emotional and says one of the hardest jobs he has to do is to comfort the families of those who have loved who have lost loved ones in Iraq.
You know, number one, he acted like it was a tea party. Number two, he didn't even know Casey's name, and he wouldn't look at the pictures that we brought of Casey.
Casey is your son who died in Iraq.
Who was killed in Iraq. And he didn't know our names, you know, because they made us take our name tags off before he came in. I guess for the photographer, the White House photographer, but, you know, I think it might be because he might embarrass himself by trying to read the names or something. I don't know, but... You know, it was a horrible meeting, and we didn't feel any comfort from him. You know, hard work is sending your son off to go to a war that you all know is illegal and immoral, but he goes anyway. You know, hard work is spending the 2 weeks while he was there before he was killed just worried sick, you know, not being able to sleep, not being able to eat, not being able to concentrate or focus on anything because you are so worried about your child that's in harm's way. You know, then they come over and tell you that your son is dead and you collapse on the floor and screaming, you know, and hard work is burying your son and just not wanting to jump in with him and have the earth carry you, you know, cover you both. And then that's not even the hard part. The hard part is living every day without your child that was killed so needlessly and senselessly, and then knowing the lies and just knowing that the only thing we are compelled to do is try to prevent other people from going through the same tragedy we are. You know, George Bush doesn't know the meaning of the word hard work.
Won't you save us?
control. We are falling, lost in the garden, lost in the heavens.
Five more U.S. soldiers have been killed in Iraq and gunmen kidnapped atop Iraqi Interior Ministry official Wednesday. The military Wednesday announced that four U.S. soldiers were killed when insurgents attacked their patrol in the northern Iraqi city of Beji late Tuesday. A local police official said their convoy was attacked with rocket-propelled grenades. Another American soldier was killed by small arms fire Tuesday, some 50 miles west of Baghdad. A car bomb targeting a joint U.S.-Iraqi patrol in Baghdad killed four civilians and three Iraqi policemen Wednesday. Also in Baghdad, police say gunmen Wednesday kidnapped an Interior Ministry brigadier general as he was driving, forced him into a vehicle, and then drove away. The U.S. military also said Marines and Iraqi forces discovered a car bomb factory and detained 36 insurgents during a week-long military offensive that ended Wednesday in western Iraq. Iraqi politicians, meanwhile, met in private working to break a deadlock over a constitution that's supposed to be presented to the parliament in less than a week. Lori Neff, Associated Press.
How much is this costing us?
Here I go!
No, please move back. Yeah. So I want to get to Cindy when I...
We're supposed to meet with Cindy! 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 Talk to Cindy! Talk to Cindy! Talk to Cindy! Talk to Cindy!
President Bush was close to Cindy Sheehan today, but they did not have the meeting that she so fervently wants. The president attended a GOP fundraiser near his Texas ranch, and his motorcade swept right by the anti-war protesters who are camped along the roadside. Sheehan, whose son was killed in Iraq last year, has been seeking a meeting with Bush. As his SUV rode past, she held up a sign saying, "Why do you make time for donors and not for me?" She's been joined by dozens of supporters in what she has dubbed Camp Casey in memory of her son. They've hammered hundreds of white crosses into the ground, symbolizing the war dead. Bush hasn't ruled out a meeting with Sheehan, but he told reporters yesterday that he's heard her arguments from others and is convinced an immediate pullout from Iraq would be a mistake. If he watches the local cable channel in Crawford, that might be a mistake, because he might hear her again. She stars in a new TV commercial by Gold Star Families for Peace.
Mr. President, my name is Cindy Sheehan. On April 4, 2004, my son Casey was killed in Iraq. He was only 24, and he died in his best friend's arms. Casey was so good and so honest. Why can't you be honest with us? You were wrong about the weapons of mass destruction. You were wrong about the link between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. You lied to us. And because of your lies, my son died. You said he died for a noble cause. What cause? Mr. President, I want to tell you face to face how much this hurts. I love my country, but how many more of our loved ones need to die in this senseless war? How many more soldiers have to die before we say enough? I know you can't bring Casey back, but it's time to admit mistakes and bring our troops home now.
The White House has put out an accounting of all the meetings that Bush has had with families of war dead, 900 relatives of 272 people who've died in Iraq and Afghanistan.
And now, here's Bill O'Reilly.
I think Mrs. Sheehan bear some responsibility for this, and also for the responsibility of other American families who have lost sons and daughters in Iraq who feel that this kind of behavior borders on treasonous.
This is William Rivers Pitt for Truth Out, reporting Thursday morning from outside the Crawford Ranch here in Texas. I'm here with Tim Goodrich of Iraq Veterans Against the War. Would you do me a favor right off the bat and tell me where did you serve and when did you serve and in what capacity?
Sure. I served in the Air Force active duty from April of 99 until April of 2003. During that time, I had three deployments to the Middle East, one in support of Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan, and then two for Operation Southern Watch. And, of course, that last one was the intensified bombing over Iraq before the official start of the war.
You were involved in the, there's been a lot of talk about some bombing before the war got started. You were involved in that whole process?
That's right. I was deployed to Saudi Arabia, and we were flying missions over Iraq fall of 2002, and the bombing just intensified astronomically. And the reason for it was to soften up the air defenses of Iraq and to try to goad Saddam into a war. This happened right after the Downing Street memos, just a few short months later, and 6 months before the official start of the war. And it's funny that you mentioned diplomacy, because that was Bush's line. We're going to try diplomacy first, but the war had already started.
Now, what brings you out here?
Well, I wanted to join my good friend, Cindy Sheehan, and we just want President Bush to come out from his five-week vacation and take maybe just 30 minutes to talk to us and level with the American people.
And tell me a little bit about Iraq Veterans Against the War.
Iraq Veterans Against the War started just about a year ago, and we're growing every day. We're all people who have served since September 11th on this war on terror, and people in Iraq now, people who have been to Iraq, you name it. If you served in the military and are against the war, we're here.
Do you hear a lot from people who are over in Iraq who are interested in your organization?
Absolutely. We get hits on the website every day from foreign places, and we get a lot of interest. We've got members serving in Iraq right now.
And I'm sitting here with Bill Mitchell, who's with Military Families Speak Out, Gold Star Families for Peace, and his son, Sergeant Mike Mitchell, was killed on the same day in the same battle as Casey Sheehan. He's been here since Tuesday, and he's a real focal point. He's really rallied everybody, and his presence has just been remarkable the whole time. And I knew you'd want to speak with him, Randy, so here he is.
Thank you.
Hello, Randy. It's a pleasure to be on with you today.
You too, Bill. Thank you for traveling all that way in the hot.
Well, you know, I was talking to Cindy last Thursday. She told me about her idea, and I said, well, I can't make it to the VFP conference, but I know you have a lot of support Saturday and Sunday, but if you need me, let me know. And so I woke up Sunday morning, I checked my emails, I kind of got a flavor of what was going on here, and I called Cindy and she said, I need you here. And I said, okay, I'm jumping in my car, in 2 days I'll be there. She said, no, Bill, I need you here now. So I jumped on an airplane and got here as quick as I could. My son had joined the Army in 1997. In May of 2003, my son was sent to Iraq with the 1st Armored Division as part of the Stabilization Force after the mission was accomplished.
Right.
So my son was there from May 2003. On April 3rd, 2004, my son and his buddies from the 1st Armored turned in all of their equipment. On April 4th was the turnover of power from the 1st Armored Division to the 1st Cav that came into Iraq from Fort Hood. They had been in Iraq for 5 days. On April 4th, 20 of those brand new soldiers made their first journey into Sadr City, the same Sadr City that my son Mike spent 8 months in while he was there. Well, these guys weren't aware of what they were driving into, didn't realize that as they were going in, people were pulling barricades behind them. My son was asked by one of the tank commanders to ride loader in his tank. My son was a mechanic, but on that last day, he was manning a M60 machine gun in an attack against Shiites, those same Shiites that he had been sent there to liberate. My son was killed in the same battle within 9 minutes of Casey Sheehan. And I was going to share with you that my son was 1 week from Kuwait, 2 weeks from Germany, and 3 months from his wedding day.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I can tell you my family's devastated. I have now a German daughter. My son was engaged for 6 years with Bianca Liebel, who lives in Unterfrandorf, Germany. And I can tell you that this young lady is just devastated with the loss of her soulmate.
We had over 700 people come through our camp yesterday, and we are expecting thousands this weekend. It is it is just so incredibly amazing to me. I think people in America just needed a way to stand up and have their voices count. And for some reason, this is the way for them to do it.
Cindy Sheehan, the Drudge Report has been leading a campaign against you, along with Bill O'Reilly. And one of the points they make is that when you first met with President Bush, you came out with a very different impression, satisfied with the meeting, they say. And then you changed your tune. And they also talk about dissent within your family about what you're doing.
Well, for one thing, June of 2004 and August of 2005 are two different months. They're 14 months apart. And in June of 2004, we had buried Casey 9 weeks before when we met with the president. I was still in a deep state of shock and a deep state of grief. And I'm still in a deep state of grief, and I will be for the rest of my life, thanks to George Bush. But I'm not in shock anymore, and I have informed myself. And I have known that four different reports have come out proving that this war was based on deceptions and lies, and it's for greed, and not one person should be dead. My son shouldn't be dead, and the killing shouldn't continue. Every day people are dying, and we need to get our troops out of there right now. And dissent within my family, the members of my family that wrote that letter are my in-laws. We have never been politically on the same page. But you know what? These people, I think, are using Casey's death because they didn't know Casey. They didn't have a relationship with Casey. They didn't go out of their way to get to know him. They never spent time with him. And they can't speak for Casey. I can speak for Casey. My children and Casey's father, the five of us are all on the same page, united in our message of this war was a mistake and we need to bring the troops home.
What does it feel like to be discovered by the media right now? I mean, you've been extremely outspoken for quite some time now. What do you think happened? What is different right now?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I keep telling everybody. You know, I keep telling them I didn't just crawl out of the woodwork on Saturday. You know, because they say, oh, you're so articulate. How can you do this? You're very well spoken. You handle the media. You act like you're an old pro. I say, I am an old pro. I've been doing this for months. And I don't know why. I think it was just a good idea at a good time. And I never thought of this when I started, but the press is always with the president. And they're here. They're here in Crawford, Texas. And you know, they always look for something to cover, something to do. And you know what? This is the right thing at the right time. There's people coming from all over the country and all over the world to stand in solidarity with us. And I think it's what needs to happen, though, because, you know, 62% of America think this war is a mistake and want our troops to come home. And the media and the government need to see the numbers, need to see that we mean business. And I just think that this is just totally spontaneous, and people have told me they've dropped everything to get in their car and get down here. And to me, it's just amazing. People are tired of what's going on in this country, and they're standing up and saying, enough is enough. I want my country back, and we want our troops home.
Give it. NBC News in Washington. This is Meet the Press with Tim Russert. Sitting in today, Andrea Mitchell.
Our issues this Sunday: the war in Iraq. The violence continues as the president faces declining support at home, conflicting signals over troop withdrawals, and unrelenting protesters camped out in Crawford, Texas.
In Iraq, as politicians struggle on the wording of a new constitution, more Americans are losing their lives. 52 so far this month, 7 this weekend. CNN Radio's Cal Perry reports morale isn't quite what it used to be.
They know they have a job to do. They know that there's a mission at hand. But any U.S. soldier that you speak to, it always, at the end of the day, comes down to one thing: how many days they have left in country. Every U.S. soldier is counting down his days.
This has spread the word, and people, you know, not only people who have loved ones killed or who have loved ones over there that want them to come home. Military Families Speak Out has been getting 5 to 10 new members an hour since I started this.
That's amazing. You
know, it is amazing. And people are saying, wow, there's other people who think the same way we do. And we have some place where we can go and we can be supported.
We actually got a report in yesterday that said a lot of local newspapers are starting to cover the anger and grief of parents who lost kids in the war, whereas before they weren't even covering their opinions.
That's just awesome, and that's a blessing, and that's another Camp Casey miracle.
It absolutely is. Now, look, you know, tonight, MoveOn.org is organizing candlelight vigils across the country in support of your action out there. How do you feel about that?
I think it's really amazing, and last time I heard there was almost 1,400, so there might be more by now. And not only that, but there's grassroots Camp Casey is springing up all over the country, too. People who can't come out here to Crawford, Texas are making their own Camp Caseys, and people who have been here and had to leave are, when they get home to their communities, they're opening their own Camp Caseys.
It's so great.
You know, it's a movement that's bigger than me, and you know, it's going to keep on going. If he meets with me today and I go home tomorrow, or if we go home August 31st, this is a movement that is organic and it's growing, and there's really nothing we can do about it.
Absolutely. And these vigils bring you.
And it's turned into an amazing peace movement. A peace mum, the head of a national anti-war movement, or simply a mother who lost her son in Iraq. Cindy Sheehan has spent 2 weeks camped outside President Bush's ranch in Crawford, Texas. Her demand, an explanation from Mr. Bush as to why her 24-year-old son Casey had to die in combat. Thousands of people around the country have attended candlelit vigils to lend their voices to her campaign.
The opinion has grown to be against the war and bringing the troops home, and for bringing the troops home. I think this has just given America a rallying point and something to do to show their support that way.
David Frum is a Republican and former speechwriter for President Bush. He says Mrs. Sheehan has already met the president once after the death of her son, and that this time she's simply carrying an anti-war message.
At the time, she came out and she gave some very positive statements about the meeting. Now, this is maybe the way grief works, is that that it can become more intense over time sometimes rather than less. So I can well imagine that at this point she maybe feels more grief and more anger than she did when she met the president.
But she did say, though, that she didn't feel that he was really listening or engaging to her, and she'd like to make some clear points. And given that she's become such a seeming leader of the anti-war movement in America now, doesn't she deserve a meeting to put these points and for President Bush to sit down and listen properly to her?
But that is the question. If the question is, should he meet a grieving mother, the answer is that he already has, and he's met many others. She is now saying that really he should meet her as a leader of the anti-war movement, just as you just said. And that's much more troublesome.
Is she saying that herself? Well, other people are saying
right,
that.
Well, that's the claim, that in fact the reason he should meet her is not because she's a mother in grief. He's met her in that capacity, as he's met others. But she now has an anti-war message that she wants to deliver to him. And
It's looking bad for President Bush, though, isn't it? The fact that he's not meeting her, and there's so much coverage around her and these other people that have camped outside his ranch and would like to speak to the president about their views of their lost sons and daughters and their views on Iraq. Wouldn't it be better for the president to sit down in private or whatever and speak to these people? Don't they deserve that?
I can't speak to how it looks to people. Each of us will have to decide for themselves how it looks. But it is important to remember that President Bush has met with the families, I think, of, again, almost all the casualties from Iraq, from Afghanistan as well. And he is, as he met with the 9/11 families, and he's been very open in these meetings, and the people who have been there have been very moved by them. Should he meet with people who say, we want to meet with you in order to say how opposed we are to the war? I'm not sure. It's a democratic country. There are lots of forums in which they can express that point of view without the president creating an artificial media opportunity for them.
That no matter whether we win in this war or we lose, in victory or in defeat, the price is the same. A price that cannot be measured in dollars, cannot be measured in votes, can only be measured in pain and in lamentation. And because we know that the price is so great, we must strive with diligence, with courage, to ensure that it is never paid until all other ends have failed. Those who are gone have only one thing to say to us, those who remain. We've come this far for you. Do not break faith with us now.
These are the names of our troops who have died since Camp Casey opened on August 6, 2005. Rahim J. Jeffcoat, age 25, died August 6, 2005. Kurt E. Kraut, age 43, killed August 6, 2005. Chase Johnson Comley, age 21, killed August 6, 2005. Seferino J. Renya, age 20, killed August 7, 2005. Christopher Falco, age 22, killed August 8, 2005. Anthony N. Calladine, age 26, killed August 8, 2005. Hernando Rios, age 29, killed August 8, 2005. Ramon E. Gonzalez Cordova, age 30, killed August 8, 2005. Miguel Carrasquillo, age 25, killed August 9, 2005. Christopher Katzenberger, age 25, killed August 9, 2005. Nathaniel E. Nate DeTample, age 19, killed August 9, 2005. John Kulik, age 35, killed August 9th,
2005. Gennaro Pellegrini Jr., age 31, killed August 9th, 2005. Francis J. Straub Jr., age 24, killed August 9th. Rusty W. Bell, age 21, killed August 12th, 2005. David L. Giamo, age 24, killed August 12th, 2005. Brian K. Dirt, age 21, killed August 13th, 2005. Takara R. Green, age 23, killed August 14th, 2005. Asbury F. Hahn II, age 35, killed August 14th, 2005. Gary L. Reese Jr., age 22, killed August 14th, 2005. Shannon D. Taylor, age 30, killed August 14th, 2005. Jose L. Ruiz, age 28, killed August 15th, 2005. Joshua P. Dingler, age 19, killed August 15th, 2005. Paul A. Saylor, age 21, killed August 15th, 2005. Thomas J. Strickland, age 27, killed August 15th, 2005. Michael Stokely, age 23, killed August 16th, 2005.